Here's another call we got on Saturday during our call-in day from Curtis Eichermann. Curtis writes to us frequently and is so eloquent in what he says. It's always interesting to hear from him, and as you'll see, it's interesting to hear him.
Well, I just called in to say, you know, I appreciate your show, and especially the one yesterday, the Michael Heiser show.
What'd you like about that?
Well, just that he was so well informed.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than giving everybody else's opinion about things, he really had done the research and looked into the backgrounds and really knew what he was talking about.
Did you agree with his views?
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as I would like to believe sometimes some of the things that the people suggest about, you know, 10th planets and, you know, all this kind of stuff, sometimes I think people's wishful thinking gets in their way.
What if he's wrong?
I'm sorry, say again?
What if he's wrong?
I couldn't hear that.
What if he is wrong?
Well, you know, he could be, you know, and I perfectly accept that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have a problem with that. But, you know, it's kind of like a lot of your other shows where, you know, I consider the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, some of the things I've been looking at recently is the electronic voice phenomena, you know, the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
What
do you think about electronic voice phenomena?
Well, I think it relates to something I've been thinking about for quite some time in terms of, you know, what we really are as human beings. You know, that there is a spiritual side to us and a physical side.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're connected, but they're not inseparable. And that there may be a, you know, an electronic aspect of the spiritual side that transcends the physical side. And that maybe makes it possible for electronic devices or products or whatever to be receptive to those things that are the spiritual side under some circumstances.
Have you ever heard of Dr. H. Leo Edelman?
I've heard the name, yes.
Dr. Edelman was one of my professors years ago, and he had, oh, I don't know how many earned PhDs, but one of his degrees was in physics, and one of his degrees in biblical theology, and he was noted as being the world's leading expert on the Hebrew language.
Mm-hmm.
And when Israel became a nation again, he's one of the people who devised the curriculum that they teach new immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
To teach them Hebrew. And but he and I were having a discussion one day, not in class, and I was talking with him about one of the events that is in the Bible, in Ezekiel, that very much sounds like a UFO.
Yes.
And in the description there, it talks about the being that emerged. I don't know if it was his breastplate or his feet or what, but anyway, it says it's like amber. And the word for amber he was telling me this, the word for amber in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, is Electra.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so the idea is that it was a sparkling color, or the color of sparkling electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, you know, we know everything there is about electricity except what it is. We know how to generate it. We know how to transmit it. We know how to control it. The one thing we don't know exactly is what is it. We don't know if it's matter or non-matter. And then, of course, he discussed a great deal about, you know, the argument for matter is that it's all made of electrons and so forth. And he said, but then again, we're not absolutely certain that those are matter. And that stuck with me. I thought, wow, that's interesting. because that means electricity itself may be sort of the dividing line between what is matter and what is not.
Yeah, it may be so connected that we're not even sure that there is a dividing line. I know several years ago, I believe it was a program Nova on PBS, got into the physics, you know, where they're breaking down the matter into smaller and smaller elements. We're dealing with protons and electrons, and we're dealing with quarks, and then they're dealing with subquarks, and finally one of the scientists on the program made a statement that kind of stuck with me. He said that it's almost as if, you know, matter is really just another form of energy, and that all of this is just thoughts in the mind of God. In fact, Einstein said the same thing in a sense when he did his, you know, infamous or famous equation, E equals mc squared. He's saying that matter and energy are interchangeable. They're just different manifestations of the same thing.
In a way, Tesla also, because Tesla said everything is frequency.
Right.
And if you change the frequency of what you think is solid, what you think is matter, you change its frequency or change your frequency, you can walk through it.
That's true.
So, it sounds like they were all on the sort of the same idea.
Well, it's just like when you're stepping on the floor or hitting a wall or whatever it is, where you think you're running into something physically solid, the truth is that you never actually touch it. What actually is happening is the charged particles that make you up are interacting with the charged particles that make up that other object, and you never actually make physical contact. What if you were making physical contact, that would actually be fusion, which never actually happens. That's why it takes so much energy to force two particles together, you know, in a fusion reaction. You never actually touch the thing that you think you hit. You just, it's kind of like, you know, the north poles of a magnet repelling each other. You come very close, but you don't actually touch. And I'm beginning to think that, you know, all of this thing that we consider reality is, you know, just a form of energy. But, you know, where is this energy coming from? What causes it to be organized in this way? You know, when we die, you know, we talk about how, you know, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It just changes form. You know, when we die, there's a physical body left behind, but there is a spark of something that makes us who we are. And where does that go? You know, scientists can really not tell you the difference between a physical body that's dead and one that's alive, you know, assuming that there's no real major trauma. I mean, you know, your head is cut off or something like that. There's an instant between alive and dead that they can't really explain what is the difference.
Yeah, they don't know what's the switch.
Yeah, where the switch is and what the transition point is. And then, you deal with people like that have the out-of-body experiences where they try to explain what they see and what they experience when they have the out-of-body experience. And a lot of them describe, you know, how they're, you know, they're floating above their body, they can see their body, and it's like there's this, you know, thin silver cord still attaching them to their body. Like they're sort of connected, but only kind of sort of peripherally. Whereas maybe most of the rest of us are connected a little more firmly. You know, sometimes I liken it to having our spirit being stuck to our body like flypaper, you know. Like we're so enmeshed in it, we don't realize that they can be separated.
Well, then are the EVPs, are these people who have died that we're hearing? Are these people in another dimension that are some way communicating through the wall?
Yeah, I don't know, but I have obviously suspicions. I think there are people who are in that stage between lives somehow, assuming that people can come back. And the reason I say that is I've been doing a lot of reading on instances where 3, 4, 5 year old spontaneously make statements or recall what appear to be past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as if, you know, we have a spirit that's somehow connected with this body for the time that we're here. And I think you said once in a program way back, it's almost like our mind is the transceiver or relay station between that spirit and this physical reality we're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's point, kind of like the cosmic interface.
Yeah, exactly. And at some point when we die, that disconnects, the spirit is free to go elsewhere, does whatever it does. At some point it may be free to return and reconnect with another body.
Mm-hmm.
During that intervening period, perhaps that's when the spirits have the opportunity to interact with electronic devices. You know, maybe they still perceive to some extent what's here, and we have a limited extent of being able to perceive what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they do have the ability to interact with it because, you know, they still are some form of energy.
Well, that's interesting. That may be how it works. It's all a mystery to me. I have no idea. I tell you what, though, on Monday's show, we'll have Dr. Ron, and I guess it's pronounced Million, but it may be Milione.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to ask him how he pronounces that. He's the developer of most of the technology used on this show on Ghost Hunters, you know, with the TAPS team.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the developer of most of that technology, or at least some of it. And we'll get a chance to ask him. I'll ask him about that. Because the technology they use is for the purpose of detecting paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, did you see the show on, I think it was Thursday night? Yeah, Thursday night. Did you see the TAP show?
No, I did not.
Well, you know, they get a lot of criticism because a lot of places they go, they come away saying, well, we didn't detect any paranormal activity. But they went to a hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and using an infrared camera, they caught the image of a man standing in a door, and they tried every way they could to... And to their eyes, the naked eyesight, there was no one there.
Mm-hmm.
They tried every way they could to see if anything around them was reflecting their image, their own image, in that direction, and the camera was somehow picking it up. And after trying to duplicate that over and over and over, they just simply couldn't do it. And so they caught the image of the shape of a person. And he was moving, you know, and it looks like he's wearing a cap. And so they concluded that, well, this one, it looks like you have some paranormal activity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what about that? What about ghosts?
Well, you know, the thing that I notice is that a lot of times children or animals seem to react to something that they see
mm-hmm.
that just doesn't... For the rest of us, doesn't seem to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But they clearly are reacting to something.
Yeah.
I know in a related situation, you recently had a program on deathbed visions.
Right. Dr. Carla Brandon.
Exactly. My mother passed away just a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly before she died, this was a few days, and... shortly before a stroke took away her ability to talk, she made a statement to my sister. She was conscious. She knew what was going on, and she said, "There's all these strange people." And my sister asked her, "Well, you mean strange people in the room?" And she said, "Yes, in the room and in my face."
Mm-hmm.
And there really weren't a lot of strange people there. You know, there were people there that she knew.
Mm-hmm. And as far as you could see.
And the question became, you know, what was she seeing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she saw something. And, you know, sometimes children see things. You know, they claim to have the friend that nobody sees
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. and you begin to wonder, well, are we just not seeing those things because we're kind of not tuned in, or because we've forgotten how to see them, or they're seeing them with their mind and we're trying to see them with their eyes, or exactly what is going on?
Well, yeah, I think we rely on our eyes a lot, and almost, I would say, almost exclusively. And there is a range, a frequency range, that they can detect.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that range, above or below it, we can't detect it. So ultraviolet, infrared, X-ray, gamma, we can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But with cameras that are tuned to those frequencies, they can see it. And so we know that, for instance, X-ray is an invisible thing for our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But with a video camera that is tuned to that frequency, to that bandwidth, a flash of X-ray looks like a flash of light.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that Tesla was onto something, actually. I think, you know, we're all tuned up to a bandwidth, and within that bandwidth, we experience what we think is reality. And I would go this just a little bit further. Yeah, I think it is reality, but it's only a thin slice of the pie of reality. I think there's reality above and below our bandwidth.
Yeah, there may be not only above and below our bandwidth, but kind of in the Star Trek idea of kind of out of phase with our bandwidth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could be coexisting right here with us. I mean, that's kind of the idea of multiple dimensions coexisting in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that relates to, you know, what really is time, what really is space, you know, and how is this all connected? I think our perception of reality is highly limited.
Oh, I think so. Now, let me ask you a question very quickly here, and we'll have to move on. But
mm-hmm.
You... Have you written any books?
Yes and no. I've got a couple of things kind of half written, but no, I haven't.
Well, for everyone else who's listening, let me say that, Curtis, you have written some email that was very, very outstanding. And on a couple of occasions, I've published that in the K-Files e-zine as well as the K-Files magazine. And I'd like to encourage you to really think about setting some of this down in writing and publish a book. I think it would be a fantastic book.
Well, yeah, it's sometimes easier said than done, as you probably
That's right.
well know.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the time to get it all written down and going through the publication process. But in fact, I do some writing and have done some short stories. Have worked on a couple of books, but I just haven't gotten anything finished at this point.
Well, let me encourage you to try to find the time. You're an excellent writer.
Thank you.
All right. Curtis, thanks for calling in.